Super Fantasy Football Show.
Come back down to Planet Rando, Brian.
Oh my gosh, a domestic abuser.
What is it? He just sent a dick pic to Jerry. What are you? A perp or something?
Are you too busy to put your blackout dates on the Google Doc? I'm 1,000% sure you and your little butt buddy Randy have already talked about this, so.
Never. We would never
collude. You fucking canoodling.
No collusion.
We would
no
never collude, John.
Tyreek Hill. Stephon Diggs. It's going to be probably the widest margin victory. I mean.
Hey, Matt, shrimp out of landlocked state, sign me up.
I don't think Randy's going to have a first round pick the entire decade of the 2020.
That's a guy that keeps his fall free. He knows it's football season.
Right.
And, you know, what's up with these? Some of these people planning trips to Italy during football season.
Welcome back to a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'm John.
And I'm Randy.
And with us today is what place are you in these days? Second place in the East Division? Technical fouls? Damn. 5-3.
Yes,
Matt Chez, how you feeling about the squad this year?
You know, I feel okay.
So when we talked to you last, I believe it was late September. I feel like you were on heater then. You probably hadn't even lost a game at that point.
I think I started 3-0 or 4-0. So some tough squeaked out some wins there. So I knew probably gonna come back down to earth a little bit with the record. But sitting at 5-3, still being for the playoffs, that's all you can want. You know, last year I was. Like this time of year, I was running away from everyone, and my team like looked like they were unbeatable, and then it tailed off at the end. So
yeah,
and not too worried about, you know, just being kind of in the middle of the pack right now. There's a lot more footballs and ooties to be played. You know,
there you go, a lot of ball.
Only a 50% chance at the playoffs, though.
Really,
according to ESPN.
You're right in it.
It's right in the hunt. One game behind first. So things could change.
Fantastic. Well, can't wait to hear about your game a little bit later on. First up, though, how about let's get to Hawktua versus Oink. Pretty boring matchup over here. The final score being 121 for Oink and 79 for Hawktua. I got to say, Diddy looked to have a chance for a bit there. I think he was even projected to win early on, but then even towards the end of before Dallas played, basically, he was like right in the hunt. And then CeeDee Lamb ended up putting up like 20 points in the last 5 minutes or something like that. And
yeah, he had 32 and a half points to end the day.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, but kind of indicative of what we've seen from Hawktua this year. 0-8. Only putting up 79 points. It's just, that's tough. I'm trying to look at their bench too to see if he left anything on there. Travis Kelce.
Oh boy, yep.
Travis Kelce put up 20 points. That could have helped him. I don't think he could have won this game though.
Pick up an extra 3 if he would have started Harrison Butker. No, it wouldn't have helped.
Montgomery was out. He still had 13 and a half points, but he was hurt, right, and didn't play for some of that game.
You might be right. At the very least, that game was a blowout. So I don't know. I don't know if they kept him in all that long, but yeah, that's tough. But you know, you think he's one of those teams that has been planning on next year since a couple weeks ago. So, Hopefully better out of them. But then on the other side, Oink has got to be really happy with their position. They're 6-2, second in the West Division, and put up 121 points. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, David's team is really starting to come into its own. They're starting they're getting past that injury bug.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's healthy, and he's firing on all cylinders.
And when did they announce that Puka Nacua was playing in that game on Thursday night?
I'm not sure.
Because I was watching because Cooper Kupp, this was his first game back in a while too. And then all of a sudden, Puka Nacua is out there, and I had no idea. And it doesn't look like David did either, because he was still on his IR spot and he put up 13.5 points. So that's another piece that's going to get plugged in there for Dave. And that's probably going
to happen. So I don't know what time the game started, but the report came out that Nacua was listed as active at 6:54 p.m. on Thursday.
Holy like an shit. Hour before the game.
Yeah.
Teams are being fucking shady with injuries. Shady. This year.
Yeah, this whole season has been like that.
Damn. Well, let's get on to our next game then. How about let's do Denny Irvine's Gatorade versus Altman & Sons Incorporated. Another absolute blowout. I think this was the biggest blowout of the week, actually. 132.5 for Denny Irvine. 81.5 for Altman & Sons Incorporated. Altman & Sons gave up a shit ton of players in the past week. So kind of no surprise there. This just looks like a team that's planning on next year. And that's about all I can say about that side. On Denny Irvine's side, though, kind of firing on most cylinders, I guess. I guess not all cylinders. Caleb Williams only getting 9 points. You don't love that. But, you know, you always know that Denny Irvine is good when Tom is texting you every fucking day about fantasy football. And yeah. he's been all over it. And I know I sent the one GIF of that guy like smiling at his computer and then his boner pops up and it's smiling too. That's exactly how I picture Tom every time something good happens to one of his players.
I know he was beating himself up over the quarterback decision.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Brock Purdy against Dallas or Caleb Williams, the rookie against Washington, it doesn't seem like Brock Purdy was projected 19.5 and Caleb Williams was 15.5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really missed the boat there, but it didn't affect anything.
Don't beat yourself up, Tommy. You still got the win.
That's right.
So, but though, John, I told you last week, you put all his faith in Chuba Hubbard. He should have went with Ladd McConkey. Left 26 points on the bench.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if he's going to have the stones to start Ladd, because he's been a little hit or miss this year. The misses aren't bad. You know, he's getting at least 3 points as his lowest, 5.5, 6.6 are his next lowest. So you know that's not terrible. But yeah, let's see if he.
Tom, if you're listening, which we know you are, you got nothing else to do. This is one of the 10 podcasts I know you listen to while you're on your morning walks of the yacht club. Maybe instead of 5 fantasy football podcasts, you'll just listen to one. This one, the one that matters. 2, maybe go with your gut. Stop overthinking it. Just go with a pick. Go with a player. Roll with it. I think you're overthinking it, buddy. We don't call you Tommy for nothing.
I couldn't agree more. Let's figure it out.
It's all about outing, though.
Yeah, yeah. Can't argue with that. All right, well, should we get to the next game? We'll save your game for last. I'm excited for your game. And actually, my game also comes with a fun little
mail
message.
Mail time
from Brian. So let me...
Hello, everyone. Here's the post-game press conference nobody asked for, but you're fucking getting anyway. This game being the game of the week and combined with the nature of the result, there's quite a bit to unpack here, so I'll try to keep it brief. First, I'd like to tip my cap to the Elephants. You know, they came in this week and did exactly what they were supposed to do. Nothing flashy, just did what they were supposed to do. I think they scored 5 points over their projected points total, and with a team of that caliber, most of the time, that's really all you need to do. With that, let's get into the Fools, who didn't do anything they were supposed to do and played like hot garbage. So we were pretty excited coming into this week. We thought we had maybe the best matchups we're going to see all year and just decided to put up our lowest point total of the season anyway. Jordan Love was going against the 32nd ranked defense against quarterbacks. We had Jaden Reed going against the 29th ranked defense against wide receivers. Jordan Mason going against the 30th ranked defense against wide receivers. Running backs. Drake London going against the 27th ranked defense against wide receivers. Really the only remotely tough matchups we had were Kyren Williams going against the 7th best defense against running backs, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, a.k.a. the Sun God, going against the 3rd best defense against wide receivers. Learned a hard lesson this week. It's all about the matchups, obviously. So I think, you know, maybe moving forward, we need to just put the best players on the field regardless of matchups. We had some injuries during play. Jordan Love went down with a groin injury. Not sure if he tore his vagina wide open or just, you know, having maybe a case of vaginitis. But either way, probably won't be playing another down for us, no matter what the severity of the injury is. So it doesn't really matter. Jordan Mason also went down with a shoulder injury. I'm just hearing now that he actually could have gone back into the game if needed, but chose not to. So maybe everyone named Jordan is just a bitch. at least that is my theory at this juncture in time. Obviously, I'll have to work closely with our analytics team to confirm that theory, but I'll definitely get on that and make adjustments as needed. A bunch of other players, I can only assume, were out partying the night before. Maybe did a little too much blow, put their dicks where they shouldn't have, and were a little more worried about their pending STD results than they were with the football game. You know, my close personal friend, Minka Fitzpatrick, once said, "In order to see fruit, you got to toil for it." I think too many people don't want to toil for it. They just want to walk out here and make plays and perform at a high level. I think we need to have more people that want to work for it. Dudes just think that just because they're on a 4-time championship team, they are going to win games. And we need to check that mentality. Because this is a super fantasy football league. Nothing is handed to you. You got to earn everything. All in all, we would just like to apologize to the fans for the product that we put on the field this week, and changes will be made to how we prepare moving forward. Thank you.
I feel like I got in his head.
A lot of strong words, a lot of strong feelings coming from the Running Fools.
I mean, he seems rattled over there.
Yeah. What's he do? Retail therapy, get that new TV.
I mean, the kid's 5-3. Okay. Not the best record, but he's second place in scoring. He's in a competitive division. What place is he in right now? Do you know, Rando?
Third in the West. And he has an 85% chance of making the playoffs right now.
Okay.
I think it's right. Two division winners are 1 and 2, and then.
Yeah, he would be the 4th seed if the playoffs started today.
Okay, so he's still fighting for a wild card spot. Interesting. All right, well.
You know what, John? I'd be kicking myself in the nuts, too, if I benched the number 2 ranked fantasy quarterback in Baker Mayfield or the number 5 ranked fantasy quarterback in Jalen Hurts in favor of Jordan Love, the number 18th ranked fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, that was a last-minute change from Brian, I know, and it didn't fuck him completely, because I believe he still would have lost, but that would have put him, I think, like 2 or 3 points behind me or something like that.
Well, if you put Scary Terry in there at 14.5 points, if you put Jonathan Taylor at 17.5.
Yeah. It's
a hell of a lot closer of a game. It's an easier pill to swallow, I think, than going out and getting slaughtered.
Right. And his problem right now is picking the right guys on a given week, because he's got a lot of good players in here, you know, it's just about picking the right guy. So that's, but he missed on the quarterback and it changes the whole game. I wonder how often he would say he's hit on his quarterback this year, because he has a lot of options.
He does. Would you say this is the worst slaughtering you've ever seen?
No, I wouldn't. From a team, I wouldn't go that far. I'm not that cocky.
All right, I'm just saying.
what's the punishment from your side bet? Did you end up?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Brian has a little note for us about that as well. So let's hear from him.
Oh, and one more thing. I ordered the girly pink unicorn I suck at fantasy football shirt. I'm actually getting two sizes in case it is a little bit nipply in DC so that I can wear a sweatshirt under it. So I got one bigger size and one smaller size. But anyway, I got the shirt and I will fucking wear it. Fuck me. Bye.
So there you go. I can't believe you got two sizes. That's incredible.
Well, what are the sizes?
I don't know what the sizes are.
Extra small and a medium?
I hope. I mean, if we're lucky.
I want to say kudos to you, John. The Iron City Oliphants, they are who we thought they were. And they went out and proved it this week.
Yeah, I'm happy with the way the boys played. All cylinders. Yep. Yeah. It was really great being able to taunt Brian all day. Because after Thursday night, it was he had Kyron Williams and I think Justin Jefferson, and they had 18.5 and 15. So it looked like he was going to have another one of those weeks. But yeah, Jordan Love just really, really fucked him that day. Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, let's get to our last game. This is probably my favorite, technical fouls. Beating the Real Americans 110 to 101.5. This was kind of a tight matchup. Chez, can you just tell us your thoughts on, like, 20 minutes before kickoff on Monday Night Football? You were up by what, 30 points?
It was up like 31, 32 points, and I think Randy has projected 30 points between Russ and Najee. So
Take us through your emotions just like, you know, 20 minutes before kickoff.
I was pretty nervous. I was nervous about just because the Giants, terrible team, bad defense, thought it was going to be easy for us to run the ball on them. And I was feeling like the projections for Randy's players were not necessarily accounting for how bad the Giants were. And Russ went off on his debut. So I was not feeling too confident.
All right. Well, let's
Randy, how I hate having to root against the Steelers. It's like the worst feeling. And he is.
I said like, it would bring me
against just like one player to not do good.
Yeah.
I was so excited that I felt that I was going to ruin Matthew's Monday night. It's the root against Russell Wilson and Najee. I was so excited. I was looking for that win.
Well, let's
I thought we had it.
Let's go back in time and listen to what Randy was thinking 20 minutes before kickoff. So let's see. So he sent me this unprompted.
Ladies and gentlemen, I come to you live. Not 20 live. Minutes before kickoff, Steelers-Giants on Monday Night Football. The Real American is down. I am losing currently 110 points scored by the technical fouls to my 75 points. I have put all my faith in Steeler Nation. I have hitched my wagon to Russell Wilson and Najee Harris. And there's a calm here. There's a calm here on McAllister Drive as we roll into Monday Night Football. And as promised, I will give you a live quarter-by-quarter reaction to the game as it unfolds. The question on everyone's mind is, will I defeat the technical fouls tonight? And as I said last week on the pod, Matthew, I am coming for that ass. Nothing would make the Real American happier than Matthew Chez sitting there watching the Steelers electrify on Monday Night Football and put up points like we have not seen all season.
Wow. So Randy was feeling pretty good.
Confident.
So then, Chez, okay, kickoff starts. First of all, where'd you watch the game?
Just watch it at home.
Are you, do you need snacks to watch the game on Monday Night Football? Are you doing, having a drink?
Not this time though. Just completely raw dog this game.
All right. Rando, what'd you do?
So nothing last night. Just had a bottle of water, took an edible, right at kickoff.
Cause you were...
And that was my mistake.
All right, Chez, kickoff happens, you're watching the game, you're comfy, you're cozy. First quarter, what are you thinking?
I was feeling good in the first quarter because Najee was running the ball like crazy. Mm-hmm. Didn't seem like we were passing too much, so I was like, okay, maybe I'll just be one, you know, run heavy, not too many passing yards or touchdowns from Russ. And it seemed like every drive he would get like 5 or 6 yards each carry, and then we'd get near the red zone and they'd take him out. And so I was like, I don't think he's going to score a touchdown unless he, you know, breaks a 40-yarder.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
But Warren, it felt like it was every single drive they'd get down to like the 30-yard line and put in Warren.
Yeah.
And so I was loving that.
Oh, man. And were any of the touchdowns called back for the Steelers in the first quarter? I feel like there was.
The one to Pickens.
The first one to Pickens was, one. Yeah.
Yeah. Where he tapped his foot twice.
They called Broderick Jones for a face mask. And I wanted to murder him.
Oh, that was the Broderick Jones one?
Yeah. The first one was Broderick.
Oh,
because I was texting Tom Dorn and he's like, oh, Russell Wilson and Najee look really good.
Yeah.
The touchdown happened. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's exactly what I needed. And then I sent back to Tom. I said, I'm going to murder that guy.
Oh, man. You got so fucked over. Okay, so first quarter. All right, well, let's hear what Rando was thinking in the first quarter, because he sent another little note unprompted.
First quarter update. I like the way the boys are playing. We've narrowed it down. We're down 28 points. The Steelers offense is humming. Russ is cooking. We just got to finish drives. Najee looks like he's running great. Arthur Smith, run the goddamn football. Run the ball when you're inside the 15-yard line. I don't know what you're doing. Stop getting cute with it. Let Russ cook or give the ball to Najee. It's not that hard. Stay tuned for the second quarter update.
And I guess we'll just throw in the spoiler alert now that there was no second quarter update, or third quarter or fourth quarter, because
nope.
Because why, Rando?
I fell asleep.
Okay, so no more fun updates from Rando, but that's okay. We appreciate those too. And then from there, I guess. What happened, Chez?
They kept putting in Warren anytime they got anywhere near the end zone. Another touchdown got called back. I did not know that 2 feet down meant literally two different feet. You can't have the same foot twice.
I did not know that either.
It seems like no one really did, and everyone assumes that should count. So that was pretty upsetting.
How did he do that? I don't know that. I didn't know that was humanly possible. He tapped the one foot and he like lifted it as he was falling and tapped it again.
Yeah, it was pretty athletic.
That's crazy. Did he? Yeah, I don't know how the fuck he did that, but that was crazy because that was called back too. And then did they end up kicking another field goal for that one too?
Or did I think so. And then they got the return or the.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's another.
Kind of backwards.
Yeah. And then at one point, I think it was in the fourth quarter with like 4 minutes left, they had the ball. And it looked like, okay, they were going to keep driving because they need to score again. And I was like, all right, Randy's still alive, still has a chance. And then that was when Russell fumbled it and just completely fucked it up.
Yeah.
So tough loss for the Real Americans. Really thought you might string two wins together, which is crazy, but didn't happen.
We had them right where we wanted them, and we let them off the hook.
I was projected behind for most of Sunday, and then, got saved by James Cook.
Crazy. Well, with that, let's get to the standings, where those, there they are. So season standings in first place, Iron City. Well, we'll go by divisions, I guess. In the East, Danny Irvine in first place, 6-2. Technical Fouls in second, 5-3. Alvin and Sons in third at 2-6. And in the basement, the Real Americans, 1-7. Still has a chance, 1% chance, according to ESPN. I don't know how that's possible. But you have 1% chance of making the playoffs, they say.
We go on a tear that's never been done before. And we claim that fourth seed.
And then in the West Division, Iron City Olyphants in first, 7-1. In second, Oink with 6-2. Third, this is the Running Fools at 5-3. And dead last in the league, Hawktua, 0-8. Are they going to win a game this year?
They have a gauntlet coming up.
Do they?
I don't back in divisional play, so they're going to right there play in got to play the rest of the West again. So it's going to be more tough games.
Damn. That's tough. That's really tough. But, you know, like I said, they're already playing for next year, so we'll see how it works for them. All right. Well, I guess we'll talk SRK. Get to the SRK segment.
Ooh, let's go.
We bought tickets. I guess that's the big update from last.
About damn time.
Tickets are. Tickets split 7-6, all in the same section.
That's great.
One gap row between, so we'll be close by. Yeah.
And they were what, $299, $300?
$295.
Not too bad. I mean, in the same section too.
Can I call dibs on being in the fun row? I don't want to be in the non-fun row.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would like to be in the row in the back. I don't want to have to turn around to yell to someone two rows back.
Yeah,
I want to be the fun row. Yell down at them. So whatever row you're planning on being the fun row, that's the row I want to be.
Randy wants the top row. Oh, man. Awesome. Well, I guess that's coming up. That's only we'll have one more episode, and then it'll be SRK. That's pretty exciting.
Matthew, are we in the upper deck, or is there a balcony above? Like, are we undercover, or?
No, upper deck.
Okay, I was going to say, FedEx Field historically has been known to leak from the upper deck down to the rows below.
Yeah, like, it was confusing. They have, I think we were talking about this on Saturday. There'd randomly be seats on the lower level that were a lot cheaper, like in small groups, but it was, he had like an obstructed view with like a support pillar and you're blocking half the field. So you don't have to worry about that being in the top.
Last person to pay for the tickets is getting an obstructed view ticket.
Oh my God. That's so funny. Like why are there fucking seats there?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's makes no sense.
That's so funny. All right. Well, should we get to next week's games then?
Bring it on.
Fantastic. I haven't looked at them once other than my own game. So let's see. How about we start with, God, Rando, your game. I'm excited to see who wins, but I
got a nail biter. Me.
Well, let's kick it off there then. The Real Americans playing Altman and Sons Incorporated. Altman and Sons are 2-6 and very much in tank mode. And the Real Americans are 1-7. And not too long ago, he said he was in win now mode. So you're currently projected 5 points less than the tanking team, 94.7 to 99.3. Rando, how are you feeling about this game?
I'm looking forward to it. I think we're on a little bit of a streak here. I want to prove my critics wrong that say I'm not playing the game. I'm not having fun with it. I'm still playing the game, Tom. I know you're listening. Still playing the game. I'm out here competing. I would never tank. I like myself in this matchup. I think it's too close to just hand it over to Eric. I got a little tricks coming up on my sleeve on the waiver wire.
Ooh.
I think, am I up first still on the waiver order, or is Matt ahead of me now?
I think it would be Matt.
I would think, yeah. But this won't come out until this
comes out, Matt won't have heard it, so it won't matter.
I'm going to text him.
But all right, be a traitor. I think this could be another one where we don't know until Monday night that it's over. Put your phone down, John. Put your phone down.
I'm kidding.
Randy, you going to play Deontay if he's healthy?
You know, me and John were talking about that before you got on. I don't know. I don't think I'd play him his first week there, but a couple weeks in, I'm not gonna. Who started Amari Cooper this week?
Diddy, I think.
Piano. It isn't. How long has Amari been with Buffalo? Is this the second week or is?
I think.
Yeah, this was the second week.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Second game.
But I like myself in this matchup. I think we got just enough firepower to compete.
All right. Man. I just really don't like your team. I still think Altman and Sons could. He has players that are more likely to score points, such as Kyler Murray, Breece Hall, Brock Bowers having a really good year. Jordan Addison, I think, has not been doing great, but you know he can put up points. So I think I'm going to go with Altman and Sons in this one. And I think you're just going to continue your little losing streak here. Chez, who you got?
I'm going to go with Altman and Sons in a close one. I think if you didn't have the players on bye this week, I think you could win this one. But having Najee, who's probably your best, most consistent player out, probably a week too early, like you just said, for Deontay to come in and make an impact. Go with Altman and Sons in a close one.
Sorry, boys. They got John Dillard out there slinging footballs out in the desert. I'm not rooting for him. Also, did you see Kyler Murray is a quarter Korean? And he said that if allowed, he's applying to play on the, I'm assuming it's the South Korean flag football team in the Olympics.
Traitor to our country.
Traitor to our country. Just because he's a quarter, or the Korean national team, they called it. I'm assuming it's South Korea.
It's probably just because he knows he wouldn't start on the United States team.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. What do you worry about your real job before you start worrying about a hobby?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, let's get next to Hawk Tua versus the Running Fools. Another kind of uninteresting game, but one that really matters. If the Running Fools somehow lose this one, they would be in serious trouble, I think. Not serious trouble, but I think that would probably knock them out of the current playoff standings. But it doesn't. I can't picture them losing to Hawk Tua, so I don't think he really has anything to worry about. So. Yeah, I mean, just top to bottom, an incredible team. I think the Running Fools take this one easily. Chez, who do you got?
Yeah, I think Brian's top to bottom, better team. Like I mentioned, David Montgomery was tweaked his knee last week, so, you know, Gibbs will probably get most of the carries, and that's really Matt's best player. So I don't see Brian, you know, bounce back week for Brian. I don't see him losing two in a row.
Brando?
Couldn't have said it better myself. This is a bounce back week for the Running Fools. Hawk Tua, he brought a spoon to a knife fight. It's just, it's not going to happen this week for Hawk Tua.
Watch him pull it off. All right, let's get to our next game. Let's do Iron City Olifants versus Oink. This one's pretty interesting. This is the battle for first place in the West Division. 7-1 Olifants going up against the 6-2 Oink. Current projections, I don't know that I've really set my lineup, but it looks like I'm projected 130.2 to Oink's 134. That's quite the projection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's really no point in me dragging this out. I like myself this week. I really like my team, and I'm not going to bet against the Olifants. Chez, what do you think about this matchup?
I think it'll probably be game of the week, probably the closest one. I will go with the Olifants too. I think your team's has more players, I think, can consistently put up high points. I think David's team has more boom or bust potential, like if Josh Allen goes off or CeeDee Lamb, you know, he could put up a really high score, but I think all in all, more likely that you'll be able to, you know, get the winning total on the board here with this week.
Rando, what do you think? Are we doing the sweep?
I'm not going to give you the sweep. I'm not going to give you the satisfaction of the sweep. I won't do it. Nah, fuck the commish. I like the Iron City Oliphants. They're going to run away with it. David's team is too boom or bust. I'm with you, Chaz. I think John has more players that are consistently going to be high scoring. I like the fonts in this one. Is this the game of the week?
No, can't be.
Oh, okay.
Because our next game, this one is a battle, a huge battle in the East. That's right. We're digging through the trash can that is the East Division, and some piece of shit is going to end up on top of that trash can and end up in the playoffs. The only question is it the technical fouls or is it Denny Irvine's Gatorade? The second place fouls going up against first place 6-2 Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Chez, you win this game, you're right back in it. I mean, current projections, I don't know that this means anything because Tom doesn't have a kicker, but technical fouls projected 121. That's a commanding amount to only 102.6 for Denny Irvine. You figure he gets a kicker in there. Okay, he's projected 112, 115 maybe. So probably a 6-point dog this week. Man, it's going to be a close matchup. Rando, what are your thoughts on this game?
When I look at the numbers, you got Matthew, according to ESPN, has the advantage in 7 categories. Tom has the advantage in 3.
And Tom currently does not have another kicker on his roster, but does have an opening on his roster.
Listen, it's no secret. Tom's best player all year has been Chris Boswell. Chris Boswell single-handedly has carried Denny Irvine's Gatorade to where they are today. And without him, I don't know that they can do it. Last time these two teams met, Chez slaughtered them 104-61.5 in week 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are two very different ball clubs than they were in week 2. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
You know what? Just to hear him stutter and flutter around, I would love to see the technical fouls upset Denny Irvine's Gatorade this week. In the game of the week.
Oh, man. All right. All right. Well, you put me in a tough position here because, man, it's tough because you make a good point. Last time these two teams saw each other, it was 104-61.5 out of Denny Irvine's Gatorade. That was a pathetic showing. And, yeah, the Fools.
John. Not to interrupt you. I know this is your time, but
please, go ahead.
It's a pathetic showing, but that's the story of Tom's fantasy football career. He can never win the big one when it matters. And what makes week 9 any different than week 2? What makes week 9 any difference than the championship game? The boys still can't close. He can never close when it matters the most.
Oh, my God. I love it. I gotta say, though, well, just to continue on my original train of thought there. Since week 4, Denny Irvine has not, would have beaten Chez's team by a minimum of 20 points. And the largest margin is like 60 points. So that's a little disturbing, I gotta say. But at the same time, it's gotten a little tighter in recent weeks, but I still don't see it happening. I think Denny is unfortunately that piece of shit that's going to come out of the East, and it's a shame. I would love for it to be the Fowls, and I would love to somehow play them in the first week of the playoffs, but I'm taking Denny Irvine on this one.
I've never been so disappointed in you in my life.
Chez, What are you thinking?
Tom, this is the week you're going to regret the flip-flopping back and forth. Are you in it? Are you selling players? He's dancing around all last week. Can't make up his mind if he wants to compete for a championship. He's competing for second place. That's all he knows. This is a week he's going to regret not doing a full fire sale. Got Jaden Daniels. Those ribs look healthy. He was fine this week. I should have played him. Going against the terrible New York Giants. Got Saquon going against Jacksonville. They're no good. He's going to put up big numbers. Michael Pittman Jr. plays much better with Flacco in a quarterback. And Randy, like you mentioned, Tom's been carried by Chris Boswell all season. I'm ahead of him on the waiver claim. I have an open spot on my team because Diggs I put on the IR with his ACL. I'm claiming a second kicker this week. I'm getting Jake Elliott, the number one projected kicker available. This guy's not going to have anything.
Let's go. Oh, man. I'm not ahead of him. Rando, you got room on that roster?
You got room?
Oh, boy, do we. Good luck finding a kicker, Tom.
Oh my god, I'm so excited to check. I've honestly become a fiend at checking the waiver report the next morning. It's the first thing I do on Wednesday morning, because I wake up and I check the waiver report.
Should start doing that.
It's actually really interesting. I don't want to give away my secrets, but fuck it. I like this one. It'll tell you if there's like a failed attempt, so you can see like who tried to get a player who was claimed earlier.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So it's very interesting. So yeah, that's my Wednesday tradition. I guess whatever gets you up in the morning. I wouldn't recommend it. It's a little pathetic, but whatever gets you up. Man, well, you know, you guys have really sold me. I am rooting for the technical fouls. But my brain says Danny Irvine's Gatorade, so I guess we'll see what happens. I'm excited for this matchup. This is huge.
Selfishly here,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to look past Altman and Sons because I'm focused on the game ahead. But I believe if I jump forward, let's go to the scoreboard. Let's jump right to Week 10.
Sure. Week 10. That's crazy.
For some reason, this has happened 2 years in a row.
I was just going to say.
2 years in a row, we've gone on an SRK trip. And week 10, it's the real American versus Denny Irvine's Gatorade.
Oh, shit. That's so funny.
I would love nothing more than a fumbling Tom, all flustered after losing first place. And now he's got to dig his way back to the top.
Get him on his back foot, Randy.
And I want to be the one to stop him.
Oh, man, that made me so much more excited for this. That's incredible.
We should start just planning the SRK around when me and Tom play in fantasy.
I love it.
That gives me the whole car ride to chirp him. That gives me the whole weekend to chirp him. I get to chirp him in the stadium. Be great.
That's so funny. All right, well, anything else? That was it for mail time. So thank you for those who emailed in. You can send us your thoughts on fantasy football related or otherwise, superfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. Anything else, Rando?
And boys, if you have any questions you're too afraid to ask in the Discord about the SRK trip, feel free, send it an email. Me and John would love to answer your questions.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's our show. Best of luck to everyone this week, except for Oink. This has been a Super Fantasy Football Show. We'll be back next week. And until then, I'll see you in the Froggies.
Take us out, Glow City!